WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready. Before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available. Because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
Get ready for another episode of the Life Strong Project.
Another episode of the Life Strong Project. Family, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are, depending on the time frame. I am glad to be a part of your lives, man. I am so excited that you guys chose little old me to listen to. But on today, I am so excited. So a lot of people have come and said, hey, you know, I'm interested in starting a business. I'm interested in business. And I found out that a lot of people don't have the, let's, you know, for lack of a better term, knowledge. Not saying people are stupid. No, that's not what I'm saying, family. Don't put me out there on that island, all right? But I'm saying people don't have the necessary knowledge in order to get that thing started and to survive, all right? So, you know, 20% of all businesses fail in the first year. And you say, well, wait a minute. I got 10 businesses. That's only two of them. Well, wait a minute, y'all. That's just in the first year. We haven't talked about years 2 through 5 yet. All right? So I want you all to be successful, and I want everybody to get started off on the right foot. So today, I have the answer. I've got the answer. And the answer comes in the form of Asha Wilkerson, lawyer from the Wilkerson Law Office out in Oakland, California. Every time I talk about Oakland, I think about those West Coast rappers. So I have to throw that too short. I've got to throw that too short in there. Oakland, California. Hey.
E40 is from the Bay.
See, there
area
you go.
Too.
Yeah.
So we got some good ones.
So I had to throw that in there. Asha, good. Well, good morning for you. Good afternoon for me on the East Coast.
Right. Good day, family. I'll say it.
Good
like
day.
That.
There we go. Good day. So tell us about the Wilkerson Law Office. So there you are. I'm interested in how you got, you know. There you are in Oakland, and Oakland has its history, and it has its history of, you know, struggle. So there you are, Oakland, and, you know, in the midst of all that, you say, I want to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
How did that
sort of
story? So was that always your childhood dream, or?
No, not at all. I call myself the accidental attorney, if you can accidentally end up in law school. So as a kid, you know, like every little kid, I wanted to be a doctor, I wanted to be a veterinarian, okay. I wanted to be a firefighter, I wanted to be a teacher, do all of these things. And even as I was coming up through high school, I just knew that I was gonna be a teacher. So I studied English in college and minored in communications. But, you know, I ended up going to a pre-law undergraduate program that happened the summer between my sophomore and junior year. And the reason why I was able to go is because I had a summer job back in Portland, Oregon at the Boys and Girls Club. They lost funding, so my job got cut, and so I had to look for something else to do. Right. And the dean of the Black Student Union, who happened to also be a Black woman, the dean of admissions for Santa Clara University's law school came to our Black Student Union meeting for the undergraduate students and said, hey, I've got this opportunity to pay y'all for a month to come and take law school classes, to learn about being judges, to learn about nonprofits, to learn about just the world of law at large. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in take the opportunities that are presented to you. And they may not all shake out, but, you know, take the steps to make yourself available of them. So I applied and ended up getting admitted to the program. And so that's how I spent 1 month of my summer between sophomore and junior year. And that was my first introduction to law. I will say though, like I loved Law and Order, but I loved it from the psychology perspective. I wanted to be Dr. Wong, the forensic psychologist, because I was so interested in learning and understanding why people made the choices that they made. And you know, the courtroom part was like, okay, but you know, I wanted to like help catch the bad guy and help explain why things were happening in this world. So, but somehow I ended up going to law school again, following that path of seeing what happens. So I applied to law school following the program, and I was like, all right, if I get in, it's probably meant to be. And I did end up getting in, and I made the choice between that and teaching, thinking that being an attorney would set me up and give me the biggest sort of platform to be able to help people in many different ways, whether I wanted to represent them in court, work on policy, do human rights work, that kind of a thing. So that's how I accidentally became an
accidentally.
Attorney.
I love that. Well, I just accidentally became a lawyer, you know? Like, what?
Right, right.
So, okay. So there you are in Oakland. Now you were born in Portland.
I was born in Portland, Oregon, okay. And actually my undergraduate university, was in right next to San Jose, California, in Santa Clara, California.
Okay, gotcha.
And then law school was in San Francisco, but one of my childhood best friends, older brothers, lived in Oakland, and he was going to start law school at the same time in San Francisco. And he said, Asha, just move to Oakland. You'll be happy that you did. We'll just ride across the bridge together. So that's how I ended up in Oakland at the beginning of law school.
All right. So are you a Warriors fan?
I am a Warriors fan. I am. But I'm also a Blazers fan, you know, Portland.
All those hurt to the core because I'm a Lakers fan. Anyway.
Oh, no. Oh, no. How am I on this podcast? Lakers fan. I'm a Lakers hater. Self-proclaimed from childhood Lakers hater.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So let's get into it. We're going to just... I'm going to edit that out, y'all. Edit all that out. Edit all that. All right. So here we are. So let's say, for instance, somebody approaches you. Mm-hmm. They say, okay, you know, Asha, she is... Now, for family, let me explain. Let me break this down to you. She is a lawyer, and you specialize in business. Or businesses?
Yes.
All right. So business law. So here's somebody. They approach you, and they have this wonderful idea because... Everybody has the wonderful idea. I mean, let's just be honest.
Of course.
Everybody who wants to start a business has the idea. Mm-hmm. There's no way nobody would be interested in my business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to succeed, right? I mean, it's got to succeed. So they approach you and they say, Asha, I have this wonderful idea. And they explain the idea and the excitement, the passion, you hear it all in their voice. What would be the first thing you tell them?
Yeah. Well, I would say, great. Have you tested it yet? Because you're right. Every ideas come a dime a dozen. If we got rich off of our ideas, we would cure world hunger and poverty and all that good stuff, right? For sure. But I will tell you that people don't invest in ideas. You know, they invest in businesses that work or taking action, right? Mm-hmm. So think about it. If it was your niece or nephew or little brother or little sister that came to you and was like, hey, I have an idea for a lemonade stand and it's going to be great. Can you give me $100 to get all the supplies I need, right? Mm-hmm. And you're probably going to turn around to them and go, okay, that might be a great idea. But what have you done to advance your own idea? Right. How do you know that this lemonade stand is going to be successful? And nobody knows 100%, but there are things that you can do. Like, have you looked at the right location? How are you going to get customers? What are you going to sell your lemonade for? Some of those things. And you may not have the answers to those things right away, but those are the things you need to be looking for on the internet or with on YouTube videos or whatever other resources that you have to ask those kinds of questions and then begin to think about how do you answer those kinds of questions.
So what if that individual doesn't have, they've got, of course, my favorite friend, Google. They have all that, but they don't know the questions to ask. Let's say, for instance, they say, okay, like all those things you named, location. Well, maybe they didn't know that location was a thing. I don't, you know, not understanding why. Well, maybe it's online. Or what would be some of the resources that, or some of the places, I mean, do I just Google starting a business? Because let's be honest, the internet is The Internet of Things is the hub of all kind of information, good, good and bad.
Right.
So how do I decipher what's good and what's bad? What's
right?
True knowledge and what's garbage and
right. So absolutely. That's a really good point, right? Because you can find anything on the internet, and you have to learn how to discern, to really decide what is good information and bad information. And part of that is looking at the source that the information comes from.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
If you work in university maintenance, Grainger considers you an MVP. Because your playbook ensures your arena is always ready for tip-off. And Grainger is your trusted partner, offering the products you need all in one place, from HVAC and plumbing supplies to lighting and more, and all delivered with plenty of time left on the clock, so your team always gets the win. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, visit Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So looking at, if you're going to go to YouTube, I don't use YouTube that often, but my friend is always sending me YouTube videos like, Asha, did you know about this? I'm like, not another video. So I understand that people look at the videos. So maybe look at videos who are put out there by attorneys or by well-known business coaches or by CPAs, which is a certified public accountant. That's a whole other realm.
Right.
Look for resources like the Small Business Development Center. That's a nationally funded organization that has an office in every single state, whose mission is to support local businesses in their startup and growth phase. There's also an organization called SCORE, spelled just like it sounds, S-C-O-R-E. They are a national organization as well that has resources and workshops on how to start a business. I would also look, you know, just Google in your area, like entrepreneurship support or entrepreneurship workshops or entrepreneurship, you know, support businesses, things like that, because at least in the Bay Area, now the Bay Area is the hub of social innovation and entrepreneurship, but I'm imagining in places like New York, Atlanta, you know, LA, other big cities around the United States, that there are other local organizations whose primary goal is to support somebody to get them into business. So you're absolutely right that you don't know what you don't know. And there's no shame in that, right? But as soon as you start putting that out there and start doing a little bit of research, you'll be surprised at the people and the organizations who will meet your request for information.
Aha. See, and now, family, you have no excuse.
Right.
Aha.
You just have to start.
Exactly.
Just have to start.
Exactly. So they you know, they off the ground running. You know, they're okay. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at SCORE. I'm looking at the, you know, Small Business Development Center, and I'm looking at all these things. All right, I'm getting all this information.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Why is it then that in the first year, 20% fail?
Don't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
make it. Is it because the knowledge, or they're just not putting in the work, or a little of both?
I would say it's a little bit of both, but really entrepreneurship is not so much, it does require hard work, but it's not just hard work, it's smart work, right? So you may have a really good business idea, but if you haven't tested the market and really understand how you are going to get people to buy your product or your service, that's a problem. And that's one of the biggest problems that people have to overcome. So I'm going to start a hamburger restaurant. Who doesn't love hamburgers? A lot of people, right? You can make vegan hamburgers these days. So anybody wants a hamburger, right? But where is the location going to be? Are there 8 other burger restaurants around there? But beyond that, how are you going to tell the world that you have this product out there? It's not just enough to post a couple times on Instagram about it, unless you have a huge following. You have to learn how to get people
incentivized to buy your product. And then beyond that, you have to make sure that it's priced in a way that's actually going to support your business. Mm. So a lot of folks don't know, how many burgers do I need to sell to pay my monthly bills? How many burgers do I need to sell a year to stay in business? I've got to pay people. So, you know, what is the cash flow need to be? These are all of the things that require some foresight and some planning ahead of time. But I'll tell you, in my years of experience, I think the biggest tip that I can give you right now, before you even have all the information put out in, you know, set in stone and all that stuff and detailed down to the last, you know, I that you dot, is build a buzz before you get started. Even if you're not entirely sure what your business is going to be, start putting yourself out there on social media, in the community, and get people to start paying attention to what it is that you're doing, so that when you get ready to open your doors or sell your product, you have a group of people that are already in your orbit to sell it to. The hardest thing is if you don't build that, you've got a great business, great hamburgers to sell, but you've got two people who know what you're gonna do. No matter how good your product is, you don't have the audience to sell it.
Wow, now that's knowledge right there. So before you even launch the thing, just, and this is the thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. Nowadays, probably the most effective way, or one of the most effective way to gain that audience is probably social media. Let's say, for instance, This individual is later on in life and, you know, they've got this idea. They want to start up. You know, everybody's always talked about my cookies. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start, you know, a cookie company. I'm selling mm-hmm. cookies. And they don't understand social media. Mm-hmm. That, you know, they have shied away from social media. They have ran from it almost. But now mm-hmm. you're staring in the face of something that you have to come to grips with. What would you tell them from your years of experience? How would you tell them that, I guess, there's another way, or this is a must, this is something you have to confront, or because mm-hmm. people don't like to hear things that they have to do. Everybody wants right. to be a business owner because they think, hey, this is, I want to call the shots, and mm-hmm. they don't want to hear the rough stuff, you know?
Right.
So that's one of the rough things. How would you break it down to them? Just like, you know, would you say, hey, you know what, suck it up? Or would you say something else?
Yeah. So I have a love-hate relationship with social media myself, right? Because there's that personal side. So like right now I am my own brand and I'm the one who's promoting the brand, right? So it requires me to share pieces of my life that, you know, as a child growing up in Portland, Oregon, with a mom who was a middle school principal for most of my life, mm-hmm. I was taught that, you know, you keep personal things personal and business school things, right?
Talk about what's going on in this house.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And for good reason, right? You don't want everybody up in your business. So for me personally, it is, I'm always, not always thinking about what to share on social media, but like, I'm like, who cares about the hamburger that I just ate? Who cares that I'm now in Portland, right? But those things also build community, the know, like, and trust factor. Mm. But I will say, going back to whether or not you need social media is one tool to spread the word. But there are many tools that are available to spread the word. So depending on where your audience is, and so if you are selling cookies and maybe you go to church mm-hmm. and you can sell all your cookies every Sunday in the church community, and then now you have people who are spreading your business word of mouth, right? By word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And that is the best referral. All the best clients I get because someone else has said, hey, I've worked with Asha. She's great. Come and, you know, go sign up with her, right? Those are the best clients. So the people who are going to buy your cookies might not be, you can get some off social media, but your biggest seller might be the grandmas that came in to buy your cookies and now told everybody else in their community. And that has nothing to do with social media. Mm. So, you know, maybe it's like showing up. A friend of mine has a candle business and she has a love-hate relationship with social media also, but she has signed up for farmers markets. She's vending at the Black Joy Parade that's happening in Oakland. So she is doing her marketing and getting herself visible. And that's the key, is to make yourself visible to whatever community it is that you're trying to sell to. So for her, she's like, social media is stressful. Like, there's an algorithm, you can't control it.
Yes.
But guess what? I can show up on Saturdays at the farmers market for 5 hours and sell out of my candles every single time. And then that will push people to her website when they want to reorder. That will push people to her social media just to follow her, you know, without her having to put a whole bunch of time and energy into social media. So before there was Facebook, before there was Instagram, before there was LinkedIn, people were still selling. They still had businesses. So there's it's a new tool, but it's not the only tool. So don't get caught up on that.
All right. So y'all heard that. So before, I know for some of the listeners, this is just blasphemy, but there was a time before social media. there were thriving businesses long before social media. So it is indeed possible to do this. So far, family, we've talked about things you need to attack before you even start the business. We've talked about things you need to address during the business. We talked about ways of marketing. When we come back, we're going to get into to what Asha does. Business law. Why do businesses have laws? Why do we need them? What are the laws we need to know in order to be successful, in order not to be in that 20% that we were talking about? So when we come back, we'll discuss that. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
We're back at the Life Strong Project.
And we are back at the Life Strong Project. We are here with Asha Wilkerson, business attorney out in Oakland, California. I can't help it, y'all. I can't help it. So we've talked about, you know, what people need to do in order to start their business, you know, solidify their business. You know, but a lot of people don't understand the legal side. That is the most confusing part. So let me say this. Of course, just about everything we do has a legal side. I mean, there are things that you can and you cannot do. However, there are ways and resources out there that claim that they're going to take care of that information for you. They claim that, hey, you know, you use our services and your business will be taken care of. And I speak of LegalZoom. Now, I know a lot of people live and die by LegalZoom. They sing the praises of LegalZoom because, hey, LegalZoom did everything for me, so I'm good. Business-wise, how true is that?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, but how true is that?
Yeah. So I've helped a number of business owners who have formed their businesses on LegalZoom and have done it incorrectly. So here's the thing about LegalZoom. It looks like it's a really good, quick and easy option, but I'll tell you this, LegalZoom is only a question and answer form. So they ask you the questions, you provide the answers. If you provide an answer that's incorrect because you don't know, LegalZoom has no mechanism to say, hey, this is not right. Maybe you should consider this. It's just a robot, right? It's just a page that you fill out. So it presumes that you know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, it has no way to tell you.
Right. So
then the second part of it is, if you actually know what you're doing enough to feel comfortable using LegalZoom, why are you paying LegalZoom instead of just doing it yourself with the Secretary of State or the entity that you're required to register with? Right. Yes. So I feel like if you actually know what you're doing, then you don't need LegalZoom and you're just giving them your money. And so in my opinion, that's not smart. And if you don't know what you're doing, then you need to be talking to somebody who can actually give you the feedback, someone who's actually trained and knows what they're doing. So, of course, I have to recommend attorneys, because
not just because we study this stuff and do it all the time, but if we mess up, we have something to lose. We have this thing called a license and a bar card, and we have an ethics committee and a professional responsibility committee that we have to answer to if we do work that is not up to the standard of what attorneys in that field should be doing. So if we mess up something, you have some recourse that we need to and want to fix because it damages our reputation if we don't do that, right?
Right.
If you use something like LegalZoom or somebody who just says, hey, I can help you out, but they are not licensed, then they mess you up, that mistake is on you for choosing the wrong person. They don't have any legal responsibility to actually help you fix the mistake that was caused.
Ouch.
So don't use legal, like go to somebody else. And get some advice.
Yeah.
Like go to an attorney and get some advice. And then if you still feel comfortable enough to do it on your own, like you don't need the attorney, then go directly to the state website. Because you shouldn't, if you're either pay for the service for someone to handle it for you, or recoup your money, keep your money, and do it yourself if you're really that confident in filling
exactly
out the forms.
The money you are probably going to need in your startup. So
Right. I mean, LegalZoom asks you all the same questions that you complete or that I complete on the Secretary of State website. It's called the Secretary of State in California for where you form your business, and other, not every state calls it the same place. So you have to, you know, figure out where that is for you, but it's the same question. So why are you paying LegalZoom $500 when you could pay, you know, in California, $75 to start your limited liability company, you know? So now you're saving $425.
Yeah, for real.
And it's the same stuff.
Wow. Well, it's $100 here in Georgia. So I mean, it's I mean, it's a fraction of the cost that you're coming off of. So I've never, they almost got me, almost. And then I started doing research. And I was like, I'm not paying them jack. So, but
especially if you're going into business with somebody else, if you have a business partner, you really need to talk to a third party who knows what they're doing, because going into business with somebody is like getting married, right?
Right.
You're actually creating a new legal entity, just like a marriage is a legal union. So you want to work through those things. Your operating agreement, if you form an LLC, or your bylaws, if you form a corporation, it's like your prenup to the marriage. It's your rule book to the game. Both things. It tells you how you're going to play the game of this business, but it also says, if for some reason we need to part ways or we have a dispute, here's how we plan on handling that dispute.
Right.
So you can think about those things ahead of time when everything's going great and save time and money if there does become an issue at the end. And you can, you know, you don't have to think about it while you're super emotional and upset about whatever the issue is. You follow the rules that you had set out for yourself in the beginning.
Wow. I'm glad you brought that up. Because my next question is, this one is, you know, I get asked all this all the time, and I'm like, hey, I am not a business attorney. I can give you my theory. I can give you what I think, but don't quote me on any of this. You need to go talk to somebody. I call this the versus effect. LLC versus incorporated. Versus sole proprietorship, and you've already talked about a partnership. How do I know when I'm starting this business, how do I know what in the world I should be?
Right. Yeah. So that's why instead of going to LegalZoom, you go talk to somebody, right? Because these are the decisions that you really need to, in terms of forming an LLC or a corporation, I always recommend talking to both a business attorney and an accountant. And the reason why is that you need to understand the legal side of the business entity, the LLC or corporation, but then you also need to understand how the taxes work.
Right.
And so that's why you speak to an accountant. So I'll start with sole proprietorship. Right now, if I decided to go start selling cupcakes or hamburgers or cookies, and I didn't take the time to set up a formal entity, that would be a sole proprietorship. It's just me starting this business. And because it's me and it's an extension of me, there's no legal protection. So if somebody, I get a bad batch of lettuce, you know, and somebody gets sick from the lettuce, then that means they have an issue with me personally, because there's no distinction, no separation between the business and me. Now, an LLC and a corporation provide legal protection for you. So any
And that's known as the corporate veil, right?
That right. So piercing, the corporate veil is that protection that yeah, exactly. As you said, make sure that any problems that you have are
related to the business, as long as you are acting in the interest of the business, right? Like if I'm driving the company car and I'm doing, you know, donuts in the middle of the street and get into an accident, that I'm not required to do donuts as part of selling hamburgers, right? So that's on me personally. Right. But if I'm delivering hamburgers and some accident happens, now that's the responsibility of the company and not the responsibility of me personally. So that's the corporate veil that you want to actually protect. Now, the distinction between LLCs and corporations, both of them offer legal protection. Mm-hmm. And corporations offer a little bit more protection than the LLCs do. And the reason why is because the LLC is also sort of considered an extension of you as an individual. So you were paying taxes for the LLC mm-hmm. on your personal tax return. They call it flow through or pass through taxation, which means that any taxable income for the LLC is associated with you as an individual. Right. They call it a disregarded entity because the IRS ignores the entity and just looks at this money that you've made, right. Which is not necessarily a bad thing. That's just how it gets taxed.
Right.
The corporation offers a little bit more protection because the corporation is its own entity. It's like having a new baby, right? Mm-hmm. This entity gets its own social security number, which is called a tax ID number. So mm-hmm. does an LLC, right. But it's its own thing, right? So when the corporation goes to file taxes, the corporation itself is responsible for taxes. Now, if you want to pay yourself out of the corporation, you have to put yourself on payroll. Yes. You can't just take money out. So some people like that. Some people don't because, you know, the corporation's paying taxes and then you're paying employment taxes for anything that you earn. But, you know, like I've got student loan debt from law school that I feel like I'll never get rid of. And so I want to be able to control how much money is coming to me from my corporation. I don't want everything that I earn in my business to be reportable on my personal income taxes because I'm trying to keep my student loans at a manageable level. And with a corporation, I can keep money in the corporation.
And see, that's why you guys need to talk to a CPA or an attorney. Just the little nuances like the one you just explained.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Explained. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I can see someone right now saying, why wouldn't I want all my money coming to me? That's why I went into business. But okay, just like mm-hmm. you said, I don't want my reportable income to make my student loan debt sky high to a point where I'm like, oh my God, I'm broke.
So, right.
I mean, and that's the planning aspect that I think a lot of people, most people don't. Number one, they don't know that they need to, you know, plan this stuff out. Number two, when they find out they want to do it, they sort of back out and they're like, I don't want to do this. That's a lot. So if the passion is there, if the idea is there, I mean, just take that $500 that you're going to give to LegalZoom and put it in the hands of somebody who is actually going to give you some advice. LegalZoom gives you no advice, period.
No advice.
None. And what happens, happens. Trust me, they've got disclaimers all over the place saying that you mess up, you messed up. We are not going down for you. So we've talked about so many things, in getting ready to start this business. We talked about the legal aspect of, okay, this is, you know, I want to create this entity. This is what I should be, depending on what you want to do and all this good stuff. So now I'm in business.
Mm-hmm.
I've done all that. I've started. I'm in business. All right. I made it through the first year. Hypothetical. Let's say I just made it by the skin of my teeth. I made it. Mm-hmm. Man. Year two. What are some of the things that a person in business, they may be in business right now listening, saying, okay, I've done all that.
Mm-hmm.
What do I have to look forward to? I mean, I know I've I got my taxes. I did my, you know, mm-hmm. I know about, you know, to pass through taxes and all that stuff. Cause I'm an LLC. I did all that. Whew, I made it. Step two.
Yeah.
What do you tell them? Get ready for, finish that sentence.
Yeah. So there's a couple things actually. Get ready to replicate what worked and to take away the things that didn't work. Because being able to be sustainable in business, being able to continue it over time, being able to grow means that you have gotten really, really good at the process. And so you want to cut away all the unnecessary things that you spent time on. And also a lot of it is a learning process, right? So your first year, like you're here trying to survive, trying to get it right. My business has had so many different looks over the 10 years that I have been in business, right? We don't stay the same. It doesn't stay the same.
Why is that?
Because why did things not stay the same? Yeah. One, because you learn, the market changes, what you're interested in changes. I started out doing medical malpractice defense, working for a law firm. Wow. And then when I started my own practice, I started doing family law because I thought that would be interesting. And it was too much drama for my blood. I didn't want to do it. Then I did employment law for a long time. Mm-hmm. I did plaintiff side litigation. So I was representing people who had been terminated for a discriminatory reason and would get them money for being wrongfully terminated. And then that became really draining. And I thought, well, maybe I could cut down on lawsuits if I advised business owners. So I was doing employment law for business owners and then added the business law. And then at some point I got burnt out, took a break for a couple years. And I was thinking back to like, what are my strengths? What are the things that I really like to do? And I really love to teach. So then I reopened and re-came back in the law practice, but I do it from a teaching perspective. So now I have a business community where I'm really coaching entrepreneurs. I'm giving them legal education and some legal advice, but mostly legal education so they can make the best decisions that they need for their business. And we focus on the financial aspect of it too, with the idea that we're going to create these businesses, stay in business, and then build a financial legacy so that our kids and our kids' kids don't have to start from zero. So I went from being in court almost every day in different areas of law to really now teaching and helping entrepreneurs, right? Same education, but experiences gained along the way have helped me to find something that aligns with who I am and what I want to do right now. So the way I ran business my first year is not the way I run business now. The way I ran my business a year ago is not the way I run business now. I've changed the onboarding process. I've changed the advertising process, right? You just grow. You get more information, new data, and you use it to make the best decision that you can. So don't beat yourself up if you've got a lot of changes to make in year two, because every year is a learning opportunity and you're just looking for a little bit more growth. So you want to figure out how you can really streamline your process. Get that down pat, and then you can replicate it, whether it's services or goods that you're selling, right? And then the next thing I want you to do is really think about what you want to do with your money. So having an LLC or a corporation is a tool that a lot of people don't really talk about. So we talk about it mostly in terms of legal protection. Don't get sued. This is what you're supposed to do to make sure that you're right. But through your LLC or through your business, you can take on a number of your own life expenses, like insurance. You can run insurance through your company or reimburse yourself for the insurance that you're paying, you know, if you have it set up personally. Right. You can set up retirement accounts through your business, whether it's a solo 401k or a thing called a SEP IRA, S-E-P IRA, then you can contribute money that you have earned as a business owner into your own personal retirement account. You get different tax incentives and tax write-offs for being a business owner. The IRS code, our tax code, rewards business owners because business owners are the ones that create jobs for the rest of the population. So they want us to stay in business and to keep hiring people, so they will give us incentives, right? Look at your business as you would any other corporation. If you wanted to go work for Apple or Coca-Cola or Facebook, what are the perks that you would be looking for from some other business? And then think about how you're going to build that into your own business. So in the beginning, it is your thing. And sometimes it's difficult to separate ourselves from the business entity. But look at your business as if it were this third party. What do you want from this thing? How do you want your business to take care of you? If you have children, or when you have children that become working age, if you have an LLC, you can pay your kids, and the payroll is not subject to Social Security taxes. or the FICA tax, whatever the FICA one is,
yeah,
right?
Who is FICA? I've asked that for years. I forget, federal
insurance, something.
Yeah.
But essentially, you can pay your kids tax-free, right? Now you can guide your kids with what to do with that money. That's children up to age 18. And they have to be of working age, right? You can't put your four-year-old to work, right, and pay them. And it has to be a valid job description. But you have young kids, social media. You have kids, maybe they can do stocking shelves and count inventory or order things for you, whatever it is. But now you're paying them tax-free. So now they have two choices. One, they can spend the money. Or two, you can set up, it's called a minor's retirement account for them. I forget exactly what it's called, but kids under the age of 18 can have their own retirement account set up. And so you can take what you have paid them and then they can contribute that to their own retirement account as a child before the age of 18. And if you don't know anything about how retirement works or how investments work, the biggest thing that you have, the biggest value you have is time. It's that compound interest. Your money is going to grow, but the more time that it has to grow. So if you can start investing for your child when they're 15, by the time they get to be retirement age, they're going to have so much money they won't need to, you know, worry about a thing, right? So these are different tools that you can use through your business. Your business is an asset. And instead of looking at the legal side of it and the setup side of it as this thing that we have to do because the law says that we have to do it, I want you to think about how much benefit and value can you get out of running your business and formalizing your business. And that's not going to be stuff that you necessarily know. It's not going to be stuff that's always readily available on the internet, but it's important to surround yourself with the people who do know what they're doing and what they're talking about so you can just absorb that information. So attorneys, accountants, business mentors, other groups that are brainstorming ideas for their businesses, whatever community it is that you need to be involved in, make sure that you are in a community where you can learn and grow, and you'll be surprised what will open up for you.
See, that's why I love doing this show, because I just learned a ton. And there's a ton of stuff I need to go Google and figure out. So while I'm doing that, y'all, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to ask Asha, what's the best advice one can get when starting a business? And what could possibly be the absolute worst? And I'm willing to bet the absolute worst is something we've probably all heard venturing out into. I guarantee it. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
We're back. We're here with Asha Wilkerson, and she's been dropping all kind of science. It's not science, it's law. But still, y'all know. Been dropping all kind of knowledge, all right? So what I want to discuss now is during this whole entrepreneurial journey, I've gotten so much information. It hasn't always been good. Hasn't always been sound. Let's say it like that. So, in your opinion, personal, legal, however you want to break it down, what's the best information someone can get, and what could quite possibly be the most the most terrible information that someone has probably already, we've probably already heard it, but we just don't know it's terrible.
Yeah. I'll start with the terrible piece. The most terrible piece of information you can get is when someone says, oh, don't worry about it. No, let's actually take some time to address whatever it was that made you ask that question. So And people say, oh, don't worry about an LLC. You don't need it. Let's take a step further and investigate why they're saying that and what their reasoning is before just believing them. Because, you know, people will tell you based on their own experience, but everyone's situation is unique. So people may give you well-meaning advice, but you also need to just double check and make sure you're meeting with people who actually know what you're talking about. Not your uncle, who knows a little bit about everything, but, you know, ain't really doing nothing, right?
Right.
Make sure that you go to the people who are in positions that you envy, in those places that you want to get to in life. So worst piece of advice is, don't worry about it. Yes, please worry about it. The best piece of advice I can tell you is not so much technical. Entrepreneurship is a field for dreamers. It's a field for problem solvers. And it's really easy in life to, and I know this because I'm an attorney, we're trained to think about what could go wrong, right? And to think about what is happening right now. But the biggest thing you can do as an entrepreneur is not look at your present situation, but look forward to where you want to go. And then ask yourself, what do I need to get there? Because that little subtle shift, instead of thinking about what do I have right now, $100 to start this burger place, flip it around. I want to open up a burger restaurant. What do I need to get to that opening day of the burger restaurant?
Okay.
And instead of being limited by your present circumstances, you are going to focus on the things that you need to make happen to get it done, which removes your present situation from your worry, right? You're not limited by where you are now, but you're solely focused on where you're going. And and that applies to anything from I want to go and get my doctorate somewhere. I want to go to college. I want to travel to Nigeria, right? Where is it that you were trying to go and what do you need to get there? And then you'll start to fill in the pieces along the way, whether it's an attorney, it's a business coach, it's a location, it's some marketing, it's this, that, the other thing. Your list of to-dos will then begin to create themselves and you'll know exactly what you need to tackle to get to your end goal.
Ah, see, now that's good information right there. All right, so, and maybe I should have led off with this, and I'm not trying to insult anybody's intelligence, but when we say business law, so many definitions have been tossed around. I want everybody to understand what business law is. And I mean, you've broken down some info today that if people can't at least get started on the right foot, and make it through, y'all just weren't really listening. Cause there's, look, I've been doing this for a while and there's stuff. I mean, we talked on the break. There's stuff that I'm seriously, real talk that I've got to, you know, really do my research on, because I'm like, oh, okay, hold up. So what exactly is business law? What does it comprise of outside of, well, you have a lawyer and they know business. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's big. Then you have corporate law also. So business law could be anything from starting a business to contracts to selling a business to mergers and acquisitions. But I will tell you, if you're looking for someone to help you with something, don't get so caught up on the title, but instead focus on what is the help that you need. So I need help forming a deciding whether or not I want to start an LLC or a corporation. So then when you search on the internet or start asking around, you're asking for someone who can help you determine whether or not you need an LLC or a corporation. And I want that person to be a lawyer, right? People come to me all the time when they talk about trademarks and copyrights and things like that, because they have a business and they want that. That actually doesn't fall under the scope really of business law. That's intellectual property, which goes hand in hand with business law, right?
Gotcha.
So if they were just looking for me, I have some referrals for them, but because they're coming with the ask, this is what I need help with, I can point them in the right direction and they're not stuck looking at, oh, well, it doesn't say intellectual property on her site, so she might not be able to help me.
Right. Ah, okay. Gotcha. Okay. So there you are. Somebody says, Asha, I need your help. All right. So I listened to you on the Life Strong Project, shameless plug, but I listened to you on the podcast and there was so much information that you put out, and I took it and I ran with it and I started my business. I didn't use LegalZoom. I did all my research, this, that, and the other. And man, but I really, really would like to have your help. How can I get in contact with you? How can I reach out? How can I, you know, stay in contact with you? So if I have any of these legal business questions, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So the place I hang out the most is on Instagram. It's Asha Wilkerson, ESQ. Mm-hmm. And then you can also go to my website, which needs to have a renovation on it. So, you know, if you see some things that look a little dated, it's because I'm working on it, y'all. But the website is thewilkersonlawoffice.com. So there's some resources on there. And then there's also a contact page where you can set up a consultation with me and I can talk to you about whatever it is that you want some information about.
All right, y'all. And we are definitely going to, we're going to put that link on the LifeStrong project website and on the LifeStrong Corporation website. So if you guys ever need her services, you know where to look. Just go look at the resources list and bam, there you'll see it. So Asha, we thank you so much for sharing your day with us. We know that, you know, you lawyers are so busy. You have so much that you have going on during the day. And I'm sure you are no different. We thank you so much. This was awesome. And we definitely want to have you back. We definitely want to have you back.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and talk to you and your listeners. And I can't wait to be back.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Asha. So there you have it, LifeStrong family. I hope there was something put out that, you know, gave you the knowledge and the courage to go out there and if you have that idea, if you have that dream, you have that passion, go ahead and start your own, but start it correctly. Do the things that are going to breed success and not failure in that first year, definitely. All right, be open to change, be open to doing things better, differently, and most of all, man, look, talk to someone who knows what they are talking about. Don't just get, like Asha said, don't go to your uncle. Unless your uncle's, now wait a minute, if your uncle's a lawyer or a CPA, they're off that list.
right.
They're off that list, so, all right. So, LifeStrong family, I thank you so much for joining me today. As always, I count it a blessing to be able to, you know, to just share some knowledge, share some wisdom, and a few laughs, so, you know, just I hope you guys join in on the next episode. I look forward to being with you again. We'll talk to y'all later.
Thanks for listening to the LifeStrong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.